Ich bin völlig blind. Manchmal habe ich das Gefühl, meine Tage und Nächte sind auf den Kopf gestellt, weil ich Schwierigkeiten habe, nachts zu schlafen und tagsüber wach zu bleiben. Ich leide unter NON24, einer seltenen Schlaf-Wach-Rhythmusstörung, die viele völlig blinde Menschen betrifft. Möchtest du mehr über diese Erkrankung in Verbindung mit völliger Erblindung erfahren? Rufe kostenfrei an unter 0800 24 24 008. Ding 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 ding
Wow! Die bekloppten Nullerjahre sind zurück! Mit 2 Kilo Gel im Haar, Vanilledeo, Raubkopien und Witzen, über die deine Mutter immer noch nicht lacht. Wow, echt problematisch! Sende jetzt keine SMS an 5x3! Sondern stream dir deine Jugendsünden mit Chabos, der neuen Serie im ZDF.
I never really thought much about the locks on Grandpa's door. They'd been there as long as I could remember. Brass brackets fitted neatly into the doorframe. Old polished skeleton keys resting on a small dish by Dad's spot at the dinner table. To me, it was just part of our house. Like the faded wallpaper in the hallway or the humming radiator that never quite stopped rattling in winter. Every evening after dinner, Grandpa would fold his napkin carefully, place it beside his plate, and stand with a soft sigh. He always thanked Mom for the meal, patted Dad's shoulder as he passed, then paused at my chair to give a gentle nod and a small smile. His eyes crinkled at the corners when he smiled, and for a moment, he looked younger than his thin spotted hand suggested. Then he'd shuffle down the short hallway to his room, slippers scuffing the hardwood with a rhythm I could hear even over the ticking kitchen clock. Dad would stand and follow him, keys jingling in his palm. Once Grandpa stepped inside, Dad would close the door and turn the lock twice until it clicked solid. Sometimes he'd test the handle after, giving it a quick shake to make sure it held firm. Then he'd sigh, tuck the keys back into his pocket, and we carry on cleaning up the plates and wiping down the counters. No one talked about it. I never thought to ask why Grandpa's door needed a lock from the outside, and they never offered an explanation. As a kid, I assumed it was a safety thing, like those plastic outlet covers or cabinet locks that keep toddlers away from bleach bottles. Grandpa was frail after all. He'd been old for as long as I'd been alive. In the mornings, he sat by the sliding door with his library books, reading with thick glasses perched halfway down his nose, one hand stroking the cat curled in his lap. In the afternoons, he walked slow laps around the little garden beds, pulling up weeds or patting tomato cages to check their stability. At school, my friends asked why Grandpa didn't live in a care home. I shrugged and said he didn't need one. When they pushed further, asking about the locks, heat rose in my cheeks. I laughed it off, mumbling that it was just a family thing. Eventually, they stopped asking. For me, it was normal. Grandpa had dinner with us, Grandpa went to bed, Dad locked his door. The world stayed simple because I never gave myself a reason to question it. Dinner was chicken stew that night, thick with potatoes and onions. Grandpa always ate slow, taking tiny spoonfuls and chewing each bite carefully. He barely touched his roll, tearing it into small pieces and piling them neatly on the rim of his plate. Halfway through the meal, he paused and pressed a napkin to his mouth. His shoulders shook with a quiet cough, deeper than his usual shallow clearing of the throat. When he pulled the napkin away, I saw the dark red stain blooming across the folded cotton. It wasn't much, just a faint splash, but it sat heavy in my chest. He frowned down at it for a moment, then folded the napkin over again so only clean white showed. Mom and Dad both saw it. I watched them exchange a glance across the table, a silent conversation passing between them in the tightening of their eyes and the set of their jaws. Neither said a word. Dad reached for the salt shaker. Mom asked if anyone wanted more bread. I kept eating, though my stomach felt tight and hollow. Grandpa's hands trembled faintly as he lifted his spoon. He still smiled at me when our eyes met, the corners of his mouth pulling up in that familiar, tired way. For a moment, I wondered if he was scared, if he ever worried about getting old, or if he'd lived so long that death just felt like another room he'd eventually walk into. After dinner, he stood carefully and pushed his chair back under the table. He thanked Mom for the stew, patted Dad's shoulder, and gave me his usual small nod. There was an extra pause before he turned away, a flicker of something clouding his gaze. Then he shuffled down the hallway to his room. Dad followed, keys jingling quietly in his pocket. I sat there, staring at my half-empty bowl, listening for the click of the lock. It echoed faintly through the house, followed by Dad's slow footsteps returning to the kitchen. He started running the tap, rinsing dishes as if nothing had happened. That night, lying in bed, I couldn't sleep. The sound of Grandpa's cough kept looping in my head. I'd always thought of him as old but unbreakable, like a statue weathered smooth by decades of rain. Now he seemed small, frail in a way that scared me. What if he needed help in the middle of the night? What if he fell or couldn't breathe? The idea of him locked alone behind that heavy door made my chest ache. For the first time in my life, I realized I didn't actually know why we locked him in. I never cared enough to ask, but if something happened to him in there and I did nothing, I wasn't sure I could live with that. I lay awake long after the house went quiet. The glow from my phone screen faded as the battery died, leaving me in the faint orange wash of the streetlight filtering through the blinds. I stared at the ceiling, listening to the ticking of my alarm clock and the gentle creaks of wood settling into the cool air. My chest felt tight with worry, every shallow breath scraping against it. I swung my legs over the edge of the bed and stood, the carpet cool against my feet. The hallway felt colder than my room. Shadows lay in thick pools along the skirting boards, and the faint hum of the fridge drifted down from the kitchen. I walked slowly, placing each foot with care so the floorboards wouldn't complain under my weight. Grandpa's door sat at the end, painted the same pale yellow as the rest of the walls, the heavy brass locks shining dully in the low light. I pressed my ear against the wood. For a moment, there was nothing but silence and my own heart beating fast in my chest. Then I heard it, a soft humming, quiet and tuneless. His voice sounded thin, wavering at the ends of each note, but steady enough to recognize as his. After a while, the humming faded into whispers. I couldn't make out the words, only the cadence of speech, rising and falling in the dark. It almost sounded like a prayer, though the rhythm felt wrong, unfamiliar. My hand drifted to the doorknob. I wrapped my fingers around the cold metal and turned it gently. It rattled under my grip, locked firm. I held it there for a moment, feeling the solid resistance between us. Something heavy settled in my chest, a quiet certainty that I needed to know what was behind this door. I let go and stepped back, pressing my hand to the wall to steady myself. Tomorrow, I told myself, I would find the spare key. The next morning, I waited until Mom left for the grocery store and Dad headed out to mow the lawn. His footsteps crunched across the gravel drive and the whir of the mower drifted faintly through the kitchen window. My hands trembled as I wiped down the breakfast plates, trying to keep busy while my thoughts spun circles in my chest. When the mower engine roared to life outside, I slipped down the hallway to my parents' room. The door creaked when I pushed it open, and for a moment, I froze, listening for any sign Dad had heard. But the steady drone of the mower continued. Their room smelt faintly of old perfume and clean linen. Sunlight filtered through the thin curtains, casting bright stripes across the carpet. I moved quickly to Dad's dresser and pulled open the top drawer. Socks and folded handkerchiefs lay stacked in neat rows. I ran my fingers along the back until they hit a thin wooden panel. Pressing down gently, I felt it shift under my touch. A false bottom. My heart thudded against my ribs as I lifted it away. There, resting in the hollow space, lay an old brass skeleton key. Its edges were worn smooth, the teeth darkened with age. I held it in my palm, feeling its cold weight. The urge to put it back nearly overwhelmed me. My chest felt tight with guilt, as if taking it would snap some invisible thread holding the house together. But the memory of Grandpa's cough pressed against my mind. The way his shoulders shook with the force of it. The way he smiled at me, despite the blood on his napkin. I thought about how he always paused in my chair after dinner to give me that slight nod, as if to say he saw me, even when no one else did. I thought about how his hands trembled when he held his spoon and how his feet dragged a little more each day as he walked down the hall. He was getting weaker, and I couldn't stand the thought of him trapped behind that door, sick or scared or in pain, with no one there to help him. Even if there was some reason he had to be locked in, he still deserved someone who cared enough to check on him. I tucked the key into my pocket, lowered the false bottom back into place, and closed the drawer. The mower's hum continued outside, unbroken. I stepped into the hallway, the feel of the key burning cold against my thigh through the denim. That evening, at dinner, Grandpa barely touched his food. He sat hunched in his chair, eyes shadowed and distant. When Mom offered him a second helping, he shook his head with a tired smile. The silence at the table felt thick enough to choke on. Finally, Grandpa set down his fork and looked around at each of us, his gaze settling on me last. "Thank you," he said softly. "Thank you for taking care of me all these years." Mom reached over and placed a hand on his, squeezing it gently. Dad gave him a small nod, his mouth tight, eyes fixed on his plate. Neither of them spoke. Their calm acceptance made my stomach twist with confusion and dread. After dinner, Grandpa stood and excused himself. Dad followed him down the hall, keys jingling in his hand. I sat frozen, listening for the quiet click of the lock as Grandpa's door closed for the night. When darkness fell and the house settled into its nighttime hush, I lay awake. The brass key lay under my pillow, its weight dragging at my thoughts. My heart thudded so loud I could feel it pulsing against the mattress. Worry coiled tighter with each passing hour. I couldn't shake the image of Grandpa's trembling smile and dark, tired eyes. I told myself I was doing this for him, because he deserved more than to be left alone behind a locked door he couldn't open. Near midnight, I slid out of bed, careful to avoid the groaning floorboard beside the dresser. The house lay in silent darkness, thick with the soft hum of appliances and the occasional tick of cooling pipes. I held the brass key tight in my fist as I crept down the hallway, the carpet rough under my bare feet. Grandpa's door loomed ahead, pale yellow in the dim light spilling from the cracked bedroom door behind me. My pulse hammered against my ribs, each thud echoing louder in my ears as I slipped the key into the lock. The metal teeth caught and resisted for a moment before turning with a soft click. I paused, breath caught in my throat, listening for any sound from inside. Nothing moved beyond the door. I eased it open just wide enough to slip through, press my back against the wood once it closed behind me. The room smelled of lavender powder and old mothballs, a dry sweetness undercut with something damp and metallic that set my teeth on edge. Moonlight filtered through the thin curtains, casting pale silver bars across the carpet and the edge of Grandpa's bed. He sat upright, propped against the headboard, hands folded neatly in his lap. His chin rested against his chest, eyes closed. For a moment, I thought he might be asleep, but his chest rose and fell in slow, labored breaths. Each inhale rattled in his throat before shuddering out into the quiet room. "Grandpa?" I whispered. My voice trembled in the stale air, curling around the shadows, clinging to the corners of the room. His eyes opened. At first, I thought the moonlight was playing tricks on me, but as his eyes adjusted, I saw the pale, cloudy film covering his pupils, a faint, milky sheen that caught in the dim light. His gaze turned toward me, unfocused but aware. He didn't blink. His mouth opened slightly, lips cracking at the corners as he spoke. "You shouldn't have come in," he rasped. His voice scraped through the quiet, thin and shaking with something deeper than weakness. "I don't have much time left to keep it down." A tremor ran through his folded hands. The room felt smaller with each shallow breath I took, the air pressing in against my chest until I couldn't draw it fully. Outside the window, the wind rattled the warped glass, the sound sharp and sudden in the thick silence. I wanted to speak, to ask what he meant, but no words came out. Only the sound of his ragged breathing filled the room, and the faint quiver of moonlight trembling across the carpet between us. Grandpa's breathing hitched. His chest expanded in shallow, ragged gasps that caught against something deeper inside him. His folded hands twitched against his lap before curling into trembling fists. Slowly, his head tipped back against the headboard, eyes rolling until only the cloudy white showed beneath fluttering lids. Then, his back arched. At first, he looked as if he was stretching to relieve a cramp, but his spine kept bending, vertebrae pushing out under his thin cotton shirt until each bone jutted sharply against the fabric. His jaw sagged open, trembling with effort. A quiet pop echoed from his chin. Another crack deeper in his throat followed, wet and sharp, and his mouth dropped wider than it should have been able to. The skin at the corner split open in thin, tearing lines, blood welling up dark and quick. A wet choking sound poured from his chest, vibrating through the bedframe into the stillness of the room. Then, something slid out from between his parted lips, forcing his mouth open even wider with a slick, sucking noise. Pale flesh pushed forward in twisting folds, slick with mucus and threaded with thin blue veins. It uncurled across his chin and draped down his chest before lifting into the air, writhing and pulsing as if searching for something in the dark. My body jolted into action before I could think. I turned and lunged for the door, reaching for the knob with shaking hands. Something slapped wet and heavy around my ankles. The force pulled my feet from under me, slamming my knees onto the thin carpet. Pain shot up my thighs as the fleshy tendrils tightened, its damp surface clinging to my bare skin with a sucking grip. The touch burned cold at first, then grew hot, searing against my calves as it began to drag me back across the room. Grandpa's head hung limp, mouth gaping wide as more of the pale, veined flesh poured from his throat, coiling and pulsing in the moonlight. His eyes fluttered open, tears mixing with blood as they streamed down his cheeks. The ropes of flesh vibrated with each ragged breath he took, making his voice tremble when he spoke.
"I'm sorry," he whispered.
The words came out wet and garbled around the mass, forcing his jaw open. Each syllable gurgled through the slick mess spilling from his mouth.
"I tried to keep it fed quietly. I tried so hard."
His sobs shuddered through the pulsing tendrils as they dragged me closer to the bed, the smell of blood and rotting meat filling my nose with each ragged breath I drew. The fleshy tendrils coiled tighter around my ankles, dragging me inch by inch across the carpet. My fingernails tore at the rug's threads, leaving faint bloody crescents behind. Grandpa's mouth kept stretching, jaw trembling under the mass, forcing it wider. Slick ropes of pale tissue pulsing and curling through the air. The door slammed open behind me so hard it cracked against the wall. Dad charged into the room, his face pale with terror, eyes wide and wild. He gripped an old iron crowbar in both hands, rust flaking off the shaft where his fingers tightened around it. Without hesitation, he swung the bar down into the nearest coil, wrapping my leg. The impact made the tendril shudder, jerking away with a wet, tearing sound that sprayed my calf with dark mucus. Grandpa's mouth let out a strangled groan as the mass recoiled into his throat for a moment before surging back out twice as thick. More folds of veined flesh spilled down his chest and coiled along the floor, groping blindly across the carpet. Dad swung again, this time striking one of the thicker ropes still wrapped around my ankles. The force knocked my leg free, pain searing at my shins where the bar clipped bone. I gasped and tried to crawl backward, tears blurring my vision. The fleshy coils writhed and twisted toward me again, seeking my bare skin with wet sucking sounds.
"Get back!"
Dad shouted, voice cracking with panic. He raised the crowbar again, but paused, eyes darting from me to Grandpa. His breath came in short, ragged bursts as he watched the thing pulsing from Grandpa's mouth. For a moment, hope flashed in his eyes, as if he believed he could still save him. Then, Grandpa's eyes rolled back, his chest convulsed, a deep rattle shaking through his ribs. The tendrils doubled their frantic movements, whipping and slapping against the walls and floor. One struck Dad across the cheek, leaving a smear of blood and mucus down to his jawline. He stumbled back, chest heaving, the crowbar trembling in his grip.
"Dad,"
I sobbed, reaching out to him. My voice felt thin and useless in the chaos. His gaze flicked to me, eyes brimming with something worse than fear. Grief, finality. Slowly, he raised the crowbar higher, gripping it until his knuckles bleached white. With a strangled cry, he brought it down hard onto Grandpa's skull. The sound was wet and sharp, a dull crack that echoed through the small room. Grandpa's head snapped sideways against the headboard, his jaw still forced wide around the pulsing mass. Another blow, another. Bone crunched under iron. Blood splattered across the pillows and wall, mixing with the dark mucus oozing from his mouth. The tendrils spasmed, flailing in wild arcs before collapsing into limp coils on the bed. Dad stepped back, chest heaving, crowbar dripping with blood and mucus. Grandpa slumped forward, the thing in his throat retreating in quivering jerks until it vanished into his mouth. His jaw sagged open one last time before closing with a quiet, wet snap. Mom appeared in the doorway, her silhouette framed by the dim hall light. She clutched a heavy ceramic bowl against her chest, its rim caked with dark herbs and strips of raw meat glistening in thick, oily liquid. Her lips moved in a trembling whisper, chanting words that sounded rough and broken in her throat. She looked from Grandpa's body to Dad, then to me, crouched on the floor, trembling and streaked with blood. Tears welled in her eyes, spilling down her cheeks as she stepped closer, the bowl shaking in her hands. Dad lowered the crowbar, staring at the broken body slumped against the headboard. His shoulders sagged with exhaustion and grief. Then, he turned to me. His eyes were red, rimmed with tears, empty of anything except the hollow of defeat. Mom fell silent, her chant dying in her throat. She set the bowl down at her feet, never taking her eyes off Grandpa. There was a sadness there, deep and trembling. But something about it felt wrong. The sorrow in her gaze seemed to stretch beyond the grief for a lost father. There was a tremor of fear behind the tears, a knowledge of what came next that twisted her grief into something sharper. Dad knelt beside me and pulled me into his chest, his arms trembling around my shoulders. I pressed my face into his shirt, breathing in sweat and iron and old earth. Over his shoulder, Mom just stood there, staring at the body on the bed, her tears dripping into the bowl of blood and raw meat at her feet. Evening settled over the kitchen, brushing the old lace curtains with deep gold and violet. The sun dipped below the neighbors' rooftops, leaving strips of fading light across the tile floors. I sat at the table, fingers curled around a mug of lukewarm tea I hadn't touched. The chair to my right sat empty, Grandpa's cushion flattened, where I used to sit each night with his chipped ceramic bowl of stew, humming under his breath while he waited for Dad to pass the bread. Dad sat across from me, elbows resting on the table, face buried in his hands. His hair stuck out in damp clumps, still streaked with flecks of dried blood he hadn't managed to wash away. Mom moved around the kitchen in silence, rinsing dishes no one had used and wiping down spotless counters again and again. Finally, Dad raised his head. His eyes were rimmed red, sunken with exhaustion. He tried to smile, but the corners of his mouth only twitched before sagging again. "We should have told you," he said softly. "This wasn't fair to you." I stared at him, words caught behind the tightness in my throat. Tears burned at the corners of my eyes, but didn't fall. I felt scraped out inside, hollow and trembling. "Your grandfather, he was host to something," Dad continued, voice rough. "Long before you were born, before I was born, locking him in at night was the only way to keep it contained. It feeds while he sleeps, but it doesn't spread. That's why we..." He paused mid-sentence, frowning at the clock above the sink. The number glowed 7:59 in steady green digits. His shoulders slumped further as he pushed back from the table, chair scraping across the faded vinyl floor. He stood and looked down at his hands, flexing his fingers as if testing their strength. Mom moved to his side, pressing a kiss to his temple. She picked up the heavy brass key from the counter, holding it in both hands as if it weighed more than its size allowed. "I'll bring you breakfast," she whispered. Dad didn't reply. He walked down the hall, footsteps slow and dragging. Mom followed him, pausing at the kitchen doorway to look back at me. Her eyes were glassy with tears that didn't spill over. There was a grief there, deep and raw. But beneath it flickered something colder, an old acceptance that made my skin tighten with dread. She closed Grandpa's door behind him. I heard the lock turn with a solid, final click. I sat alone in the kitchen, staring at the empty chair beside me. The cushion still held the faint indent of Grandpa's shape. The scent of his lavender powder lingered on the fabric, blending with the aroma of old wood and the evening air. My chest ached with something I couldn't name. Fear, loss, a knowledge that felt older than my 17 years. I realized I didn't need them to explain. The truth lay quiet in the pit of my stomach, heavy and certain. This thing, whatever it is, didn't die with Grandpa. It passed along, settling itself into the next willing body, the next family member. I wondered how long I had until it was my turn.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.